You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Matt Migaki, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you've ever wanted to sneak backstage and share a beer with one of your favorite musicians, well, Vox and Hops is the podcast for you. This week on the podcast, I had an amazing conversation with Morgan Lander and SJ Jones about Kitty Pig. There is this episode and over 450 other ones to help you enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. So what are you waiting for? It's time to become a Vox and Hops head. Cheers.
Hello and welcome to Matt Meets the Music Industry. I am Matt Bacon here with a very dear friend of mine, Roman Hodel of D19 Booking. How are you, Roman?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for inviting me. Well, it's busy weeks and months with a lot of uncertainty. We are, I said, my name is Roman Hodel from District 19, based in Vienna, Austria. It's a small booking company. We're basically three people plus an administrator for IT stuff. And we're doing European bookings, work as tour agent as well, manage some bands. And right now, because the market is basically put on hold, we also have a small web shop where we sell some exclusive vinyls from bands we manage or represent or represented in the past. But basically, booking wise, it's a lot of work. And right now we postponing, rescheduling a lot. Some of the tours and festivals we also have to cancel, unfortunately, because of the availability of some bands next year. Some go into the studio whatsoever. So yeah, it's busy times, unpaid, unfortunately, but that's how it works in booking.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you about, was the return of live music in Europe.
Yeah, well, it's as always, Europe is divided and slow, very bureaucratic. See, if you look globally, the smaller countries plus the USA doing very well, like Israel, UK. Europe made the mistake with solving problems. They have to cooperate with 27 countries and administrations. And sometimes these countries don't even have the power to say whatever they want because their provinces have also a lot of power. And if there's no unity there, the country can't say quick yes or no to things.
Yeah.
So booking wise, if we talk about the markets, which should reopen as quick as possible, well, the pandemic is not over yet. That's the first thing. And everyone has a different strategy. And yeah, as when 2 years ago or 1.5 years ago when this started, everyone was reacting differently and with closing down and shut down the market. And now with opening, it will be the same. Some countries will open sooner than others.
So how do you... Okay, so I guess there's two big questions to ask, right? The first question is... What's the first show you have booked that you think is realistically going to happen?
Well, we have every week we have shows, so we don't know. Touring wise, it will be very tough this year to have tours. Our agency, we have a Samael tour coming up in September and October, and we have an Archgo Tordum Rife tour in November, December. That's the only two tours that are still on for this year. All others had to be moved already, have been moved already to next year. Mm-hmm. But it depends a bit on which country we are talking. Like right now, it looks like some countries like the Scandinavian countries, which includes Denmark, will open sooner than others. Others like Germany, it's going really bad right now. And that's a problem for touring because Germany is the largest market in Europe, touring wise. Also selling wise, if you look at how many sales everyone has in the past, UK was the largest, but now Germany by far is the biggest market in Europe. And their politics, they acted a bit different. There's no free testing, etc., like in Austria, for example. And now they started to test more. There are more COVID cases, and now they shut down instead of opening things. And logistic-wise, for European touring, Germany is major important. Also, if you want to get to Eastern Europe, etc., you have to basically pass Germany, even if you don't play. So this, and this with a Nightliner coach with 22 people in it, playing different countries every day. There will be problems with that. Also, testing-wise, the Europeans are working on a so-called green passport for people who already had their shots or already had the COVID or just tested. They might have access. But nothing is sure at the moment. So touring-wise, it's tough. Our strategy is really to book local bands, book nationwide bands, so bands from the Netherlands, in Netherlands, etc., in their own country, or have fly-ins maybe for one or two shows if they're well paid. But for touring-wise, we're looking at new project. We'll start in 2022, so next year.
Okay. Yeah, that, I get it. And then what about festivals? Because, you know, at least those are outdoors, usually oftentimes.
Yeah, that's the paradox. The specialists and doctors say, well, outside the risk of infecting someone is very low, but what do they do here? They lock the people inside. And I'm not sure for, it differs per festival, but in which state they are, how many people are expected, but basically, it's all a global market, so people and the bands come from all around the world. So that's a bit of a problem. If you have just the local audience, you will never make a profit. You need foreign visitors as well to break even, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that's so
even if they would say it's allowed again. But if people are not allowed to travel, it would be suicide for the local promoter to go on with this.
Well, the other thing I was kind of looking at is like, do you think you're going to be booking domestic tours a long time before you start booking international tours?
Yeah, domestic, it doesn't make much sense to have any tour at all. Well,
that's the problem. That's what I'm trying to figure out, right? But simultaneously...
It depends a bit. If you want the shows to happen in the weekend, which not everyone wants, some venues are specialized in other music styles and prefer to have their parties and sold out techno mm-hmm. things in the weekend, and they prefer to have the live gigs do on weekdays. But the bands and most band members are not full-time doing this. So yeah. They prefer to have the shows in the weekend. Same for the audience. They don't travel far. If you have to work the next day, you don't drive 200 miles for a show and return at 2 a.m. You don't do that. If the alarm clock goes at 6, because that's another topic, but most of the audience are not 20 anymore.
Absolutely.
So it's basically weekend shows will be preferred, but also it's very complicated because most promoters also don't want to run much risk anymore or simply don't have the money anymore for.
Yeah, well, that's the other question.
For hoping maybe enough people will show up. So the bands will be confronted with lower guarantees. It will turn towards door deals more. And it's risky. Like if some bands have previously got a good fee of, let's say, for example, $4,000 per show, the guarantee might be half of it now. And the risk is on them because, if sometimes with a door deal, you'll even have more money than with a guarantee. But in the end, there's a certain risk because if a promoter has less risk, then, in the pre-sale, the pre-sale is not that good, but he already reached his break even, he or she, whatsoever, then you will, there will not be a poster campaign 1 week before the show to pull more people.
Yeah.
So, but if there is a high guarantee, the local promoter will do more its best to sell it out.
And so then tied into that, because I have a lot of US bands who listen to this, when do you think we're going to see American bands able to realistically tour Europe again?
Well, next year. But it depends a bit on which scale, which capacity venues are needed. If you're mostly play for capacity till 500 venues, clubs, then it will be next year. It will happen for sure. There are other problems because basically there's a huge traffic jam already. People, all the shows have been postponed, rescheduled to 2022 and 2023 already. So if you're looking at a new touring project, it will be really tough for a tour agent to get to achieve a routing that makes sense, like efficiency wise. So if I would perform or play in a US band and I want to tour Europe, I would do it in a van and with hotels, like have it as small as possible, touring party, travel party of maybe only bring a sound engineer and a driver who sells the merch, and that's it, like old school again. Yeah. And this way you don't depend on other bands who might jump off the tour package because of several reasons, or maybe at some countries, coaches with 22 people inside from different countries will have a problem crossing the borders. Mm-hmm. That might occur as well. Or you have to simply retest every second day everyone on board.
Which would also suck.
Yeah, so if you look at this, and obviously also the real risk of getting the COVID stuff, you don't want that either. So maybe keep the travel party small and just, sure, you need another tour routing for this, because you can't have the next show 800 miles if you have to drive it. So then the next city should be 400 miles or something in the next day. But it has benefits as well, because every day you have your own hotel room, you have a shower, well, more privacy. And you're more acting more independent in case things get forbidden. Also, in case you have an off day, unforeseen, because one country might not allow the show anymore.
Yeah.
Then, if you small travel party, you stay one day longer in your hotel, do some sightseeing, and that's it. You will not have major costs. But if you are traveling in a nightliner, which costs around $1,500 a day.
Yeah.
Well, and have 22 people, you need a dinner and drinks from your own pocket. So I know this kind of tours will fall really quick after two or three cancellations. The decision will be that the tour is canceled. And yeah, if you're traveling in a van, well, just make sure you get a comfortable fan, because in Europe, the fans are not that comfy like in the US.
Yeah. Very true.
If you tour Europe in a rotten bus for 6 weeks, well, you might have back problems at least. So, then you need a different kind of approach. So your goal, it's important what your goals are. Keep it realistic and bring your own backline. So just have a van and a small trailer with your backline, and then reorder your merch and let it deliver every 10 days to another venue to restock, because then there's obviously a problem, space problem, capacity wise.
So if I'm a band in Austria right now, you know, April 22nd, 2021, what should I be doing in terms of, like, how should I be thinking about my next shows? What should I be doing in terms of live music?
If the band's from Austria?
Yeah.
Also, it would be perfect if you're in Austria because you're in the center of Europe. So you don't depend on flights too much. It's the problems is more like if you're living in Portugal or in the north of Scandinavia or something, then you more or less you need flights. And here it starts already because flights prices went up already with 20% to 30%.
Yeah.
And on top, most promoters will not pay your flights anymore. So you have to pre-finance it yourself. But if you're in Austria, first of all, maybe think twice if the new release, if it's already recorded. So I might wait a bit with releasing it because basically you promote it with live gigs. If there are no live gigs, you will sell less and will have a really negative impact on your results. As an Austrian band, I would just rent a van and first look for Austrian shows then to the neighbor countries, which are many because you can go to Switzerland, to Germany, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Slovenia, Italy. So they're easy. And it's obviously it's important to be flexible. Sure, the larger bands and also the larger agents, like if you talk about Live Nation, bands which pull more than 2,000 people a night, these will be on hold still for 2023 already.
You really think so?
Yes, because there will be... They will start over again with limitations all over. So first, it will be 100 people seated only. That's already in the news here right now, that from next month, these kind of shows can happen. But this is more or less, for classical music, this can work because they get funds from the government, etc. But if you organize shows by yourself without this kind of government money, that you need at least a 300 capacity, I think, to make it work. Also, in rock and metal, the fans are not really into seated shows unless you talk about Heilung and stuff like that, then you can do that. But if you talk about extreme music, it should be standing. Sure, if the distance rule, it's also a problem, 1.5 meter distance. With that, you can't do anything. The mask issue, I don't think many people make a problem out of that. Sure, it's no fun to, if it's a festival, to walk with a mask 12 for 12 hours. But if it's just a club show with a mask, I don't think the fans make a problem out of that.
I think you're probably right. So how does it feel then as a European agent, who had a lot of success before all this happened?
It sucks.
But how does it feel to look at America where things are opening up?
I'm not sure. They might close it down again as well, because here in Europe, they're opening and closing all the time because the pandemic is not over yet. So right now it's frustrating work because we had 5 or 6 tours and several festivals, which we have to postpone and move, and it's working again. You can compare it with building your own house. And then, before it's finished, someone from the local government comes and says you have to tear it down again. And you have to do that, but you only get paid if the family moves in. So that's problematic because it's all unpaid. Only if there's a result, you get your money. Yeah. On the other hand, I'm the reason for doing this job never was the money. Sometimes the profit margins were also really, really small. So we don't lose that much money right now. I just hope that our clients, customers, and the local promoters and festival owners survive it as well. So, because else there will be less touring, but and then we have to start all over again, like we started, like just renting a sports hall and rent a PA and light system and organize our own shows again. That would be back to underground, which I wouldn't even mind that much. But I just think really it's important to have good sound and good lights and have, yeah, I don't want total underground again. And also I think most fans appreciate good food at the events, good drinks, different drinks, have a good sound, have a good experience, positive. Unless we go into the depths of black metal, then it doesn't matter. That's fine.
Well, I think, and this kind of ties into the next question I wanted to ask you, is where do you think the, how do you think the festival landscape is going to look a year from now? What percentage of festivals do you think are going to survive, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I think most of them will survive, but some of them will maybe switch from, it will be smaller. The scene will shrink a bit, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But sure, now we are all forced to restructure, maybe look how to save some money without compromising too much when it comes to the quality of the event. For Germany, I honestly hope there will be less festivals in the future. I'm not talking about known ones, but every village has its festivals, and there's only in summer there are more than 200 festivals in Germany only.
200 metal festivals?
Yes. Crazy. Metal, rock, maybe combined with hardcore or alternative music. But yeah, if you have a broad taste of music, you can go to a festival, to 10 festivals a week, basically. If you're sure, the large ones like Wacken, Summer Breeze, Partisan, etc., they will continue for sure. Maybe they also have to compromise a bit, but I also hope they all survive, because we all depend on each other in some way, even when some are competitors sometimes, but I see it as colleagues more. And sometimes we book shows and bands to that festivals, we have our own festivals, but there will not be that much money anymore in the festivals, because the costs always have been high already, and the costs will go up with flights, maybe with local restrictions, other stuff, transport, logistics, manpower, staff will be more expensive, and that will have its influence and impact on the ticket price. Sometimes VAT on the tickets goes up as well. So the ticket price will go up. Some festivals will not make it, but I think because most of them really want to do this because they love it and not because of the money, because no one is really rich. Most of the people I know who organize festivals or tours, well, they have an average salary or lower salary, lower than average.
Yeah.
So, but in this crisis, it shows you basically that, yeah, for me, it's like, this is what I want to do, even when the money sucks.
That's kind of a bright spot in what's been a pretty depressing interview.
I
was actually just stalking because I wasn't sure. Like, it doesn't really appear that Wacken 2021 is happening.
No, it will not.
Yeah. And so I guess it's just like,
it's also some countries are not announcing it yet that they cancel, because if they cancel, it has to do with insurances and maybe getting money from some government funds as well.
Yeah.
Like, if the government forbids you to organize your thing, you can claim money.
So
if you quit by yourself, well, up to you.
So in your eyes, a lot of the folks who haven't canceled over the summer just haven't canceled just because they're they're waiting to be
canceled. Yeah. They don't want that, obviously, and it also differs per country, because some countries there are no government funds or less. Some of the festivals also are working on a plan B, like have a smaller edition with only half of their capacity or whatsoever. But the main problem is that simply most bands will not make it. Crew and also audience from people who bought tickets from other countries might not make it and then claim their money back. So it's complicated, but they will, if you're a smaller festival, like maybe till 5,000 people, you might be lucky if you're in August, but right now there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and we're already almost in May. So I'm negative to that. It's better to focus on next year.
Totally. That's, that sucks.
Yeah, there's no positive aspect at all. So it's just that at least we didn't fuck it up ourselves this time. Everyone is in the same boat.
Sure.
It's better to focus on, maybe in September club shows will go on with a limitation of 100 or 200 people. So if your band is really underground and pulls 100 to 200 people average, it will obviously, that will be the first bands that can tour again.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a popular band with many crew members, high costs for traveling, and you basically need 1,000 capacity, then for this year, it doesn't look very good.
Totally makes sense. And that's definitely like...
But also you have to get your shit together for next year and 2023 already, because I'm talking to agents who are planning tours now for November 2022. And they already have routing problems in Spain and France.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Because everyone moved. And it's also in Europe, it's not only that the touring bands have been moved and rescheduled. It's also like every venue where every show with ticketing involved, it could be even the local party of someone or something less important to us, everything which sold tickets moved it instead of returning the money. So often you get the second or third option at the venue. Maybe if the first one gets canceled, you can organize there.
Yeah.
So, or which is also a strategy to go, basically I would advise to tour US first and then maybe do a UK tour. But for that, you need working permits. Everyone needs working permits now because they're not a member.
It's a whole separate fucking issue.
Yeah, for the US bands, it was already, they needed already working permits for the UK, same for Australian bands. But now European bands also need that. Or if a part of your travel party is from Europe, like if you work with a front of house guy or tour manager or merchandiser from Europe, that person also needs working permits. It's not just the band members. So the full travel party needs it, including the bus driver. And these cost about $300 per person. So it doesn't make sense if you go to the UK to just play London. Financially, it's a disaster. So better if you look at the UK market, maybe book 5 or 6 shows.
Then I was actually talking about recently, I was in a conversation about a UK tour for not a very big band that's going to be like 17 shows. They were like, fuck it, this is where we can play. Like, we're going to go all the way to Cardiff and Scotland and do all these places that we haven't done in 20 years.
Yes, I would recommend it as well. It's a... So first, you might go to Israel. You can play there as well. Market is open already.
Mm-hmm.
And with a Yeah, usually it was combined often with Turkey or with Cyprus, but right now that's not possible. But things change, so maybe in the end of 22 you can do that as well. But if you're a band, doesn't matter where you live, play USA first, touring then UK, and yeah, I would plan and schedule Europe last. Even when it's the main market, but if it's not open, you will break your financial neck going there.
Yeah. What about Australia?
Totally locked. They only open to New Zealand. And I'm actually discussing a European tour right now with one band from Australia. And they can't confirm for end of next year, because right now the government is very protective, and they just opened that, and they're basically sure they can, an Australian band can leave Australia, but returning is another thing. Sure, yeah. They can, but there will be a long quarantine time, etc. And if you, I don't know, if you have a job, day job, then touring Europe 3 or 4 weeks, you can't risk 2 weeks of quarantine when you come home. You don't have that many days.
Totally. Totally. So, no, it's fucking frustrating to see, man.
Yeah. So
is there anything that does give you hope looking to the end of this year and into 2022? Like, is there anything you're at least excited about?
Yeah. The smaller shows.
Okay.
Yeah. Just focused on our roster. We also have smaller bands, which are luckier now than the biggest one. Usually all the attention goes to the larger bands. And now, if you're small and flex, and if you have your transport, like if you have your own van, for example, or can rent cheap, then yeah, work that out. What I said about just the one band, hit the road. You don't need the others, or play with local bands. And start from there, because this crisis will take longer than everyone expected. And in the end, everything will be okay again. I'm positive about that. It just takes way longer than expected.
Yeah. You know, that's that's all right.
Yeah, because this, also the government saved money for many, many years on social health stuff. Well, and now no one was prepared for pandemic. No one.
Yeah.
So now that's the price we all have to pay, I guess. And but we if you're a bit creative, work around things. It just we can't organize illegal shows whatsoever, because the penalties are really high here for things like that. Because I would be into that as well, like organizing something in the mountains here, desolated area to do some last minute show and inform everyone last minute, but it's too tricky. They might confiscate your PA, your backline, and they even wrote about jail if you organize things like that. So better don't do it.
Yeah, better to avoid.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk about all this stuff. Are there any final things you want to touch on before we wrap this up?
Oh, thanks. No, it's stay positive. Maybe work a bit for bands, maybe work a bit more focused on your music and albums, because there are so many albums. There will also be so many releases expected next year. There are many bands who have recorded already their albums but wait with releasing it, or their labels putting it on hold. So there will be a shitload of releases are expected by the end of this year and early 22. Like also from the larger bands like Rammstein, Megadeth, Iron Maiden, but also many smaller bands, and put everything on hold. So there will be shitload of shows and many releases. So if I would be in a band, I would focus more on songwriting, recording, because nowadays the most albums are written too quick, or often recordings. It's not good. Most classic albums, the band has been in the studio and songwriting for it for years. So maybe if you have time now, because there are no shows, focus on the recording and make it a good one, because there's a huge competition and better profile your band with that.
Wise words. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.